Hallelujah. Well, y'all doing good tonight? I'm glad to hear about it. Keep testifying. All right. I want to talk about successful Christian living tonight. You know, I think, you know, you go to certain events, they have pre-things for the events to start, like, you know, even football games stuff. But probably the most spectacular opening ceremony for any event is the Olympics. How many of y'all have ever seen those? It is just fantastic. And to see all the flags and so forth. In fact, I was thinking about when we have Worldwide Homecoming here, and we'll have it again this February, when we have the parade of the flags of all the nations and of our schools and all that. And you, all of these, they have worked so hard to get there. These athletes and coaches have worked for years to get to that place. And before they ever entered the stadium, there's something that they say, a saying that they repeat. Maybe I should say it that way. I prepared, I followed the rules, and I will not quit. You know, as I thought about that statement, I thought about how that applies to our Christian walk. Few of us will ever grace the Olympic platform to collect a medal. You know, but all of us one day will grace the platform of eternity. And before we enter that grand parade of saints, we must have been committed like those Olympic athletes. I prepared, I followed the rules, and I will not quit. Anything less than that, you won't make it. You know, I'm here tonight. I want to challenge you to a higher standard of Christian living. You know, failure to participate in what we call the walk of the Lord, or walking with the Lord, or growing with the Lord, the failure to do this will disqualify you to receive the reward at the end. You know, if an athlete even wins, but then they're found guilty of not obeying the rules, they get stripped of their reward. And so let's talk about that preparing. Turn to 2 Timothy 2:15. I'll wait, see if everybody turns there. All right. I'm going to read King James and the New King James, and it leads a little different. But the old King James says, "Study to show you thyself, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, in the New King James, it says, "Be diligent to preserve yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You know, a story. Several centuries ago, a Japanese emperor commissioned artists to paint a picture of a bird. Months passed, years passed, and still no painting. Finally, the emperor becomes so exasperated that he went to the artist's home and demanded an explanation. Instead of making excuses, the artist placed a blank canvas on an easel. In less than an hour, he had completed the painting that became a brilliant masterpiece. And then the emperor said, "Well, why the delay?" And so then he showed him armloads of drawings of heads and wings and feet, and then feathers, all kinds of feathers. And then he explained that this was all research before he could complete the painting. You know, I asked you, you know, we need to ask, what are we preparing for? All of us are preparing for something in the natural all the time, and we also should be preparing for something in the spiritual. In the natural, we're getting ready for a career, or we're getting ready to make a major purchase, or sometimes people are getting ready to retire. And we all take time for these things in our life, but are we preparing ourselves properly for the kingdom of God? That's what I want to ask. You know, when I knew that the Lord was dealing with me to go in the ministry, I made a choice to go to Bible school. Why did I make a choice to go to Bible school? Because that's the best thing. That's the best way to begin preparing for the ministry. You know, if you choosing a career in a certain field, then you need to go where they're teaching that. You know, I'm going to go into ministry. I don't need to go and learn how to be an architect. You know, the only way that would help me is if I was going to build a church. I could draw it, I guess. But, you know, my goal was to be ready to do whatever I needed to do in ministry. Now, one man put it this way about opportunity. You know, if you're not prepared, opportunity won't come along. One man said, if you wait until opportunity comes, it's too late. Opportunity does not come for those who wait. Opportunity comes to those who prepare for it. Yeah, that's good. Yes, sir. You know, you can't sit around and say, well, man, I really would love to get a job in the computer field, or sit around and say I liked ministering and helping people. I'd like to get a job in the medical field doing something. Well, you're not going to get either one of those. There's not even going to be an opportunity until you prepare yourself. Hello. Now, I hope Roger don't mind me doing this, but Roger Sharp, that's one of our assistants to the pastoral staff that helps us, he is the retired assistant fire chief for the city of Tulsa. He just didn't get to be the assistant fire chief because he thought that'd be a good job to have. He prepared, first of all, by learning to be a fireman and coming on through the ranks. You know, preparation is important time for anything. And if you're going to make a mark in the kingdom of God, then you got to be prepared. You got to be prepared. Now, many times in preparation, you have to get rid of that's not necessary. Strip away the unnecessary would be another way. But now go to Hebrews 12:1. Okay. We read the New King James. Therefore, we also... since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now the NLT says it like this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us drop off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let's run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Now, there's two things in here I want you to notice. One of them is running, and the other is endurance. Yes, yes. Now, when I was in high school and I was training, I was running track, I would do all of my training, and then you're talking about 1950, you're talking about 1957 now, 56, 57 school year, and they didn't have all of the light equipment they got now. So I got the heaviest shoes I could get. I got baseball shoes. I trained in baseball shoes, and they were, your track shoes are a whole lot lighter, and they're a whole lot lighter now than they were back then even, because we had those ones that got those big old long spikes in it. We run on a cinder track. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Yeah, a few people do. You know, now they got those really nice tartan tracks. My grandson was racing, running track seventh grade year, so that'd be 2 years ago. And I walk on that track, man, and that track is spongy. I mean, I thought, Lord, I would love to run on something like this. But, you know, I would train. I put on baseball shoes, and then I would put on those heavy, we call them sweatpants. I don't know what they call them today. And then I put on a sweatshirt, a heavy sweatshirt. And I would practice in that, you know, and sometimes I would, if I could find something that I could strap on my legs that was weighty, I would put that on, and I would practice with all that on. But when I got ready to run a race, I stripped all that off, and I put on, you know, I got down to just running shorts and a singlet and my track shoes. I got, because that was weights that would hold you down. You know, all of you, you know that my grandson drives that sprint car. And we do everything possible to lighten that car. From if it can do without a washer, then we don't put the washer on there. Well, that ain't much. Well, you get a whole bunch of them together, and they finally weigh. There's another little trick that you can do that on the bolts. You can take a little bit of a drill and drill out the little bit of metal out of the bolt, so it's sort of concave in the bolt. I mean, you can, if you can afford it, you can buy titanium bolts. And you take titanium bolts and regular bolts and put them in your hand, and it's a whole lot of difference. And if you can use aluminum rather than steel, or you use that, it's lighter. I mean, you do everything possible, even on the engine. Your intakes and your exhaust manifolds and all of that. I mean, this is all made for racing, but they are made out of lightweight material. Why? Because the lighter that car is, the faster it's going to go. In fact, they have a minimum weight for the car and the driver. I forget what it is. I know when he was running those little micro sprints and running with that 600 RCC motorcycle engine, he had to weigh 750 pounds with driver in the car. Of course, he weighed a whole lot more than that, so we had to do everything we could to get as much weight off that car as we could, because the driver's heavy, and it slows you down. It doesn't mean you can't race. That's what happens. That's what I'm talking about in our walk with God sometimes. We've got things that we're still walking with God. This doesn't mean we're out of fellowship with God. It's just things that is slowing us down, keeping us from really fulfilling everything that God wants us to fulfill. So we got to get rid of us. Now, what do you do? That means you got to take a real look at your life. A realistic look at your life and decide what is important and what is not important. Now, I'm not talking about putting yourself down. I'm talking about an honest evaluation. Honest evaluation. You know, there's some people that can't be honest. They, when it comes to their self, they will not be honest. They will not look at their self honestly. I've seen people that way. You know, everybody, if you're going to advance in natural life or spiritual life, you have got to look at yourself realistically and without any preconceived ideas about something. And you're going to have to figure out what is important and what can you let go of so you can do better. Now, another thing, if we're going to have success in natural life and spiritual life. See, if you ever notice on Wednesday night, I like to try to give you something that will help you in your natural as well as your spiritual. And you can apply it to both. Another thing, if we're going to be successful, you have to overcome hindrances. Turn to Galatians 5:7. And we'll read this in New King James and NLT also. Galatians 5:7. Galatians 5:7 says, New King James, you ran well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? Yes. And then in the New Living Translation said, you were running the race so well, who has held you back from following the truth? Now, I want to tell you what, anytime you make a commitment to God especially, but you make a commitment to other things, there is always someone trying to hinder you and hinder your decision. You know, I want you to notice Paul said, who hindered you? He didn't say what. Now, I realize sometimes there are some whats that are hindering you also. But Paul said, who? Yes. I've noticed that the minute you make commitments to do something for God, there's always somebody there that wants to try to tell you why it won't work. You know, let me say this. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to make some tough decisions about who you're hanging around with and who is influencing you. Because who you hang around with will have influence on your life. And then you're going to have to look at and see if there is a what hindering you. That means something that has attached itself to you or something that you are doing. Now, the who's and the what's that are hindering you, okay? You got to overcome those, all right? What's the first step? What's the first step? Recognizing them. Recognizing them. And then you're going to have to take a hard step. You have to move away from them. Move away from whatever it is, the who's and the what's, that is hindering you from being successful. You know, there's some people that don't want you to be success in life because they don't want you to get ahead of them. So they do everything they can to hold you back because they know they're not going anywhere. You know, recognize if somebody is feeding you stuff that's causing you a problem spiritually. Now, I'm going to say something, probably going to make some people mad, but I don't care. I'll say it anyway. Don't bother me none. There are a lot of who's on Christian television. Yeah. people hear them and it hinders them because what they're saying is not truth and it's not in line with God's word. I mean, it's just not. But those things are hindering people. I've seen people that's doing really good spiritually, and then they listen to somebody on television, and then now their race is not going very good. Hello? You know, there's another thing you're going to have to do. You're going to have to focus on the end results. Focus on end results. It doesn't make any difference when you're in a season of basketball, football. It doesn't make any difference where you are in the middle of the season. What counts is where you finish. Now, there's a lot of people set their goal to make the playoffs, and then they don't win in the playoffs because their goal was to make the playoffs, not to win the All right, go to 2 Timothy 4:8. 2 Timothy 4:8. Anybody get anything out of this? Well, I got four people that are anyway. Good, I'm glad. If I help four, then I'm okay. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Now, none of us, you can't succeed if you don't know what you're running for, if you're just running to be running. Remember in the Old Testament, and David the king was back, and so they were out there battling, and so they sent back, you know, they didn't have cell phones back then, or so they couldn't send any info. They had to do it by a runner. And so the head man, he sent the runner back with the message, and this other guy, oh, let me run. Hey, I want to run. Let me run. And finally, he finally said, okay, go ahead and run. Now, he was a faster runner, and he outrun the guy that had the news. Now, he is a faster runner. He got there, and they asked him what. He said, oh, I don't know. I don't have any. I don't know. And they said, stand aside. He was just running to be running. He didn't have any gold, any nothing. You know, if you want to succeed, you got to know what you're running for. Do you realize that many people are running the race not to go to hell and just to go to heaven? Heaven is not the goal. The goal is to get the reward after we get to heaven. That's the goal. You know, getting to heaven is like making the playoffs, but winning the playoffs is like getting the reward after you get there. How many understand what I'm saying to you? You know, some people, you know, heaven is the goal. No, heaven's not the goal. The goal is to receive the reward after you get there. You know, I followed the rules, they said. Remember back in the front when we started off? Remember? I prepared, I followed the rules, I will not quit. And then I put that underneath prepare. I put underneath prepared the things you have to do to prepare, strip away the unnecessary and overcome the hindrances and focus on the end results. That's what you have to do in preparation. I followed the rules. 2 Timothy 2:5. 2 Timothy 2:5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, when I'm talking about following the rules here for you spiritually, I'm not talking about somebody's do's and list of do's and don'ts. I'm talking about following what the Bible says, what God says, not what some man's made up ideas. You know, in order to build the relationship with Christ to win the prize at the end, you know, there are things I don't do, and there are things that I do take care of. And these have to be a daily practice that helps you stay fit for the kingdom of God. You know, a runner, he has a daily routine that he goes through if he's going to be fit and ready when race day comes. You know, there is just go to 2 Timothy 4:7. Go to 2 Timothy 4:7. There's just some things I have. I don't know whether it's much of a sermon or not, but it's really some important things if you're going to keep your life in order. I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. That's King James, New King James. NLT says, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have remained faithful. I want you to notice all this that Paul is writing here is all past tense. He just didn't decide at the last minute I got to get everything, do everything right with God. An athlete doesn't win the event on the day of the event. He doesn't win it. It's won months before with all the preparation, everything I'm talking about. It's won before the event. They have disciplined themselves to a daily training routine. When I was running track, there were certain things that we did, that I did, and some of the other guys didn't do it, and that's why they didn't win either. I did every day. I was very conscious of my food intake and so forth and so on, and especially on the day of the race, I was very conscious of my food intake. You know, you go to a training table on the day of a basketball or football game, they're gonna cram you full of carbs because you're going to need it. That's your fuel to keep you going. Now, there's Brother Tony Cook sitting there. He was an associate here for 19 years. They're still a part of the, he and Lisa, still a part of this church. They get to come ever so often, and they're on their, I was talking to him last night, I think it was, at the basketball game, and he said that he traveled 252 days, is it you said? 212 days he was out on the road traveling out of 365. So, you know, we don't get to see him a whole lot, but they're here tonight. Now, Tony, a lot of people don't know him, but Tony, he's still pretty good. But he was an excellent, when he was younger, he went to Butler University on a tennis scholarship. And I know this because I talked to him about this. He had a routine that he went through to practice for his ground strokes and for backhand. And he's left-handed, and he practiced, and he has a wicked serve. Because I've talked to him about it, but you see, that just doesn't happen. It happens because somebody put the time in preparation according to the rules. Hello. And then if you're going to get the prize at the end, you have to come up with, I will never quit. Now, I didn't tell you that it will be easy. But if you quit, you've got nothing. Look at what he said in 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. You must therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Here's Paul talking, and he's saying, endure hardship. In fact, if you go over in John, you find that Jesus said that in this world you would have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. This is where you have to, you just don't quit. You keep going with God. Ephesians 6:13 in the New King James says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all, to stand. And the NLT says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the times of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. You know, it's one thing to talk about this, but man, when things are not going right, you still got to stand. When your faith is being tested, you still got to stand. When you line up with the Word of God and others try to denounce you, you still got to stand. Even if you got to stand by yourself, stand. You know, as we walk this road of life, we're living in two worlds at the same time. We're living in a natural world and we're living in a spiritual world. And we need to understand that success in both of these comes from the same principles. The same things that you do to be successful in the natural is the same things you do to be successful in the spiritual. What is it? You learn about whatever it is whatever you're going into. You learn about it. And then you go to work. And you endure hardship, you just don't quit. You got to do the same thing over here. You got to get up with this Bible. You got to get up every day and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You got to say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Come on now. God wants you to be successful in the natural, and he wants you to be successful spiritually, and he has given us principles to operate by right here in the Word of God, if we'll just get a hold of them. But hey, remember this, prepare, follow the rules, and don't quit. That's the three ingredients to being successful. Now, some people may look like they're having success without following the rules, but eventually they get caught. Yes, right, follow the rules right here. This is God's rules. Not man's rules, God's rules. Well, praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I tried to talk to the people tonight just out of my heart about being successful, walking with you. And I pray that words will have found lodgment in hearts. And I thank you that people will begin to get a hold of what was said tonight and make the adjustments if need to be made in their lives so that they can be what they need to be. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody stand. Y'all get anything out of this? Good, good. Everybody says, well, you do different on Wednesday night. I said, yeah, because on Wednesday night, I'm down here, and I just want to talk to you out of my heart, you know. And I, sometimes I don't even know whether you call it a sermon or not. but at least it's stuff that will help you. Amen. If you happen to be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, of course, you can't get any of these things working in your life until you know Him. Or you're here and you need to rededicate, or you're here like a lot of people, you go to church, but you don't know whether you've ever accepted Christ or not. As we're dismissed, if you'll come, ladies here and the men over here, come down and they'll pray with you. And you won't leave here like you came. If you need to receive the Holy Spirit and you need prayer for healing, you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, you come to the front and they'll pray with you. All right? Connection team, go find our first-time guests and take them to get that. It's a special gift. It's just not a CD. It's some other stuff. It's a really nice gift. So go find those people and take them to get the special gift right now. Remember all the announcements. Sunday morning right here, 9 o'clock, School of the Bible, 10 o'clock, regular morning worship. And we'll be here. And then remember, next Wednesday night, not here. Thursday be here for our great Carol's Candlelight and Communion service. I think it's one of the best services we have. I just like it. I don't know any other words to say. Hey, remember all the announcements, we need help. Hey, turn around and shake hands with somebody. You're dismissed. We'll see you Sunday. If you need prayer, salvation, rededication, no-so experience with God, Holy Spirit, healing, any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now. We'll see you Sunday morning. God bless.